بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us emphatically that every Friday, every Jumu'ah, we should recite Surah Al-Kahf. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned many great benefits for the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday. I will mention one or two in the pre-khutbah talk this afternoon, insha'Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, من قرأ سورة الكهف ليلة الجمعة أو يوم الجمعة أضاء الله له من النور ما بين الأرض والسماء، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That person who will recite سورة الكهف the night preceding the day of Jumu'ah, or on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows a spiritual glow, a spiritual light to remain with that person from one Jumu'ah to the next. And because of the spiritual light that he has achieved, the spiritual light, the spiritual glow that he has acquired through the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps him protected throughout the week. So when there is a temptation to fall into sin, when there is an attraction that wants to allure him away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has this sort of a shield, and he has this protection around him which makes it much more easier for him to refuse the temptation and to fall into sin. Now in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of four different tests. There is the test of Iman. And many of us, especially the youth, during this part of the year, we experience this test, the test of Iman, the test of our commitment to Allah. The second test is the test of wealth, which Allah speaks of. The third test is the test of knowledge. The fourth test is the test of power. Today, considering the period of the year and the time of the year, I would like to concentrate on the story of the people of the Kahf. What motivated them to disassociate themselves from the community in which they lived and to resort and take refuge in this cave where they had lived? In fact, they had slept for a period of 300 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the verse right before speaking of or introducing us to the story of Al-Kahf, the people of the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and reminds us, Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha. Allah says, whatever you see on the earth, whatever we have placed on the earth is an adornment for the earth. It is an attraction. It is a temptation. And it is that time of the year when the world, when the dunya exhibits and displays its attraction and its temptations and its adornment and its beautification to the maximum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these zinas are there. You will witness them during this part of the year more than any other time during the course of the year. There are going to be temptations, there are going to be different attractions, especially again, I would like to focus my message today to the youth. That this time of the year you will find that there are different types of distractions and temptations out there that are inviting you and calling you towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, we have made the earth such. Why? لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ is to test your loyalty to Allah. How will Allah test your loyalty? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I've placed the zina on earth. In every direction you will look, in every direction you turn, you will find something inviting you, a temptation that is luring you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the disobedience of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's a time really, especially for the youth brothers, it's really a time where the commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tested and they are really challenged as far as the iman is concerned. Now when you look at zina, the word zina, which can be translated as Allah says, whatever He has placed on this earth is a zina. When we look at zina, you will find that throughout the different stages in your life, you always have a certain zina, a certain distraction or attraction or an adornment that seeks to divert your attention away from the primary objective of your existence on earth. From the time you're a baby, the baby has a certain zina, right? The little child, the little baby, there are certain things which the child finds as an amusement, an adornment. And you will find that the toddler, when he moves, when that baby moves on to the next stage and becomes a toddler, that toddler no longer finds what he found amusing as a baby. He no more finds that as amusing. Now he has a different form of zina. So throughout your life, wallahi, from the time you are a baby, there is a zina. There's always something that is there to amuse you and that appeals to you and that seeks to distract you. Now the toddler, when the toddler grows up and becomes a teenager, you will find that a teenager now, what's his attraction? What's his zina? The clothes that he wears. You will find every youngster and every teenager, that's his zina. But a toddler, he didn't care about his clothes. No matter what type of clothes you bought him, at the end of the day he'll come back home with all his clothes messed and dirty. He didn't care if his hair was disheveled. Put your disheveled the hair of a youngster, a teenager who just came out from the salon, or step on his shoe, see what happens to you. So that's his zina. Then this youngster grows up into a young man. Now there's another different zina now. Now it's all about sports cars, it's all about gadgets, it's all about technology. Then as he grows, so every stage of your life, there is a zina. There's something that appeals to you, that amuses you, that makes you want to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, that is, inna ja'alna ma'al al-ardi zina. Whatever's on the earth is a zina. It is there to allure you, to test your commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story of Ashabul Kahf, the people of Al-Kahf, now they had a zina. You know, and it was no ordinary test that they were faced with and that they had to deal with when it came to their test of iman and their commitment to Allah. Firstly, let us first understand and learn of the period of time in which they lived. Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave, they were a group of people, seven, according to the most popular narration, that they were seven, known as the seven sleepers as well, in the Christian texts. So they were a people who lived 250 years after Isa alayhi salam. After Isa alayhi salam was miraculously exalted and elevated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 250 years later, these people existed. They were then put to sleep for a period of 300 years, which means that 550 AD, they awoke from their sleep, which means that they awoke from their sleep 50 years before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they lived in an era very close to the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 50 years before the arrival and the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the progeny of kings and chiefs among the people, so they belonged to the elite and the royal class amongst the community. So they were no ordinary people. So the test becomes even more difficult. They had it all. They lived as royals. They were enjoying great wealth, position, and they came from these very elite group of people within their community. But their community was a community that was engrossed in idol worship. They were engrossed in idolatry. They were engrossed in idol worship. They lived under a tyrant king who was called Daqyanus. Daqyanus, he was a tyrant king. He was really an oppressor. And he forced his people to worship idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces them, Allah says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. We relate to you the story and the incident of the people of the cave. We relate the incident to you in truth. Look at how Allah introduces them. Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. Allah draws our attention to this point. Allah says, they were a group of young men. They were youngsters. Because we know the challenge for youngsters is far, far, far greater than the challenge for anyone else, for the teenager. There are so many challenges and there are so many temptations and there are so many attractions and amusements out there. During this time of the year, ask that young man how difficult it is for him to refuse the temptation that's banging at his door. So Allah draws the attention of the youth to this group of people. Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. Let me tell you first thing, that they were a group of youngsters, a group of young men, they were youth. And wallahi, today we need to sympathize with the youth more than anything else. Because the challenges and the temptations that they face today are far, far, far great and enormous than the challenges that you and I had to deal with. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. Allah says that they were youth. آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. Without endorsing. We do not say that we endorse the evil, we endorse the vice, or that we sort of support it. No. But they are crying out for help and assistance. And we can no longer enforce the very same methodologies of tarbiyah that were implemented and enforced by our parents. How many a time, subhanAllah, after a weekend or after a holiday, I wake up to a message that, Shaykh, you know what, I messed up this weekend. I really messed up. So they're calling out. And once I had opportunity to speak to a group of youngsters, and I said to them, will you ever tell your dad if you messed up? And will you ever go up to your father and say, Dad, you know what, I messed up this weekend, man. Not a single one of them said they'd go to their father. And I said, why not? My father will kick me out of the house. My father will beat me up. I'll lose my father's trust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to this fact. And He says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. They were a group of youngsters. And once their people went out of the town to participate in some religious festival of theirs, they had an annual, as we have, you know, your annual New Year parties and your New Year celebrations that take place, and year-end corporate parties and whatever else, all the celebrations and that have begun and that will be taking place in the next few days. So this community also, they went out for the New Year party and festival that was taking place. And these youth, they went along, and they did not know each other, by the way, at the time. And they went separately, they all went to this festival that was taking place, the party, the New Year-end party and gathering that was happening on that occasion. And when they got there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, placed within their hearts a sense of uneasiness. And wallahi, sometimes you are in that environment, you are in that place of vice and evil and whatever else is happening around you, and Allah places within you that sense of uneasiness. You feel uncomfortable. You don't want to be there. You know it's not right to do what you are doing. That feeling comes from Allah. And when you experience that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, move away from there. Wal ithmu ma haka fi nafsik. If there's something within you that's tugging your conscience, it's tugging your conscience. You know, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be doing this. When that happens, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, no, you are in the wrong place. That is ithm. You are wrong. You are in the wrong place. That is a sin. You should not be doing it. So move away from there. وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. So they were there at this party, and this party was happening, and everything was, there were celebrations that were taking place, and there was idol worship that was taking place, and they were worshipping stones and sacrificing animals in the names of their gods and so forth. And these youngsters, you know, separately, each one of them just felt uncomfortable. And one by one, they drew away from this gathering. The first one of them, he went, and after this thought crossed his mind that he's not supposed to be in this place, he went away, he drew away from the crowd, and he sat down under a tree all by himself. So you might be in a situation, you know, again to the young man that I'm speaking to this afternoon, every one of you is young, as white as you may be, inshallah, you are young at heart, no offense, right? But so you got to go and look for the tree. This young man, what did he do? He said, I need to move away from this crowd. I can't be in this place. My iman does not allow me to be here. You know, the partying that's taking place and the music and the consumption of alcoholic beverages and the womanizing, I just don't feel right. What do you need to do? You need to go and find the tree. Not in a literal sense. Don't go and look for a tree. Okay? But you just need to move away from the crowd. You don't belong there. It's not about belonging. It's not about fitting in with the crowd. This was the test for this young man, and he was the first to pull away from the crowd, and he went and he sat down under a tree, thinking about what was happening and the evil and the vice that the community was involved in. While sitting there, a second young man joined him, a stranger to him. He did not know who this man was. And then a third, and then a fourth, until all seven young men who never met before in their lives were all seated under this tree. This was an unplanned meeting planned by Allah. Subhanallah. And you know what? When you go out, when you move away from that crowd, Allah will allow you to find somebody out there who will support you in that, in what it is that you want. You will not be left alone. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. There are people out there, good guys out there. You will find the right company. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, the first thing you need to do, it's that time of the year when your friends and your circle of friends and so forth will be inviting you to just go ahead and do it. You not have a blast. Come on, it's end of the year. So you might be invited to do certain things that you didn't even think of doing or imagine of doing throughout your life or throughout the year. When you move away from that crowd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a different crowd. Allah will give you that different crowd. Disassociate yourself from that company that promotes substance abuse, that promotes this type of evil, and associate with the pious. There are good guys out there. There are really good, righteous people out there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the way to paradise, فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. The way to paradise is through my ibad, through my servants. And who are the ibad of Allah? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. They are those who do not attend dance parties. They do not go to music concerts. They do not attend liquor drinking events. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And if they drive past, or they just happen to pass by the party that's happening, or the event that's happening, or the celebration that's happening, they just move away from there in a dignified manner without expressing any inclination or desire to be part of that gathering. So they were all sitting there in silence, each one, of course, contemplating and thinking over what had just happened. How did I land up in that place? How is it that I landed up in that party? How did I get caught up in all this? And now while thinking there, they were surprised as well. What are all these other guys doing here as well? And each one was fearful of expressing his thoughts with the other, because we spoke about the oppressive king, the Qiyanus, and he would oppress, in fact kill, anyone who chose a faith or who chose a path other than idol worship. So they felt fearful and they were afraid of expressing the innermost thoughts to the next person. But one of them, he stood up and he then announced, he says, listen brothers, there's obviously a reason why we all have come here. There must be some reason why we all have come and sat under this tree. And the first person then stood up and he expressed his thoughts, and he then said that this is why I have come here. I've been in that environment. I was at the party and I saw what was happening, even though some Muslims were involved in it, right? But I just felt uncomfortable. I was just so uneasy. It was tugging at my conscience. I couldn't be in that place. All that music around me and the sin around me and the vice around me, I could not witness that, and I just had to come out of there. And really, I have now expressed my loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the first person expressed his innermost thought and the way he felt about all that sin and vice that was happening at the year-end party and at the year-end festival, he just broke the ice. And everyone else then started expressing the very same feeling. You know what? I feel the exact same way. And you know what? Sometimes you are at your circle of friends, right? And you are at a party or you are at an event. You shouldn't be there in the first place, but it happens and you fall and you are tempted and you end up there and you feel uneasy. You know you're not supposed to be there. It's just wrong. It goes against everything you have learned and everything that you have been taught. But you are there. Express your thought to your friends. Sometimes you feel, you know what, I can't tell the guys that, you know what, guys, this is wrong, we're not supposed to be here, but you'll be surprised. You might express your feeling to them and they might tell you this very same thing, that, you know what, you're right, we're not supposed to be here, let's get out of here, what are we doing here? مَنْ رَعَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. We only have 5 minutes to go and we have hardly gone through the story. But nevertheless, the point that I'd like to make today to the youngsters out there is, let us take a lesson from these young men. And wallahi, they had it all. They had the wealth, they had the position, they had the money. They had it all. They were living the life. There was no shortage of anything in their lives. And the dua Rasulullah has taught us on that occasion, that ya muqallib al qulub, when a temptation, you are tempted to go, it's a year-end party and everybody's telling you, just come man, it's a one-night thing. It's a one-night thing that could destroy your entire life. It's a one-night thing that could destroy your entire your iman, whatever you have been practicing upon and whatever you believe in. Allah Rasulullah has taught us a dua, two things. When you are faced with this temptation, and you are really being told from every direction to just go for it and do it and just, you know, party away, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us a dua, ya muqallib al qulub thabbit qalbi ala ta'atik wa ya musarrif al qulub sarrif qalbi ala dinik. Ya muqallib, at that time make this dua, let us try and learn it and keep on repeating it over and over and over. O changer of hearts, establish my heart on your obedience. O changer of hearts, establish my heart on your deen. Keep on repeating the dua over and over again. Number one. Number two, the moment you are tempted to go ahead and do it, okay, it's there, you've got, there's nothing holding you back. Really, there's nothing holding you back, and you can just go ahead and do it, and you're far away from everyone whom you are perhaps ever have concern about, and you just want to do it, think of death. Think of death. At that point, what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says? أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَادِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ. Remember the destroyer of passions. So there's that passion that is within you, the temptation that is within you, the desire within you, the craving within you, and you just want to do it. Think at that point, what if I die in that state? Wallahi, it's just, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, death is هَادِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ. It's going to crush the desire that's within you. It's just going to crush it. And when you are, you know, you might have made plans, or somebody might have made plans to be part of a certain event, or to be part of a certain party, or to be involved in some sin and vice. Make the decision not to go ahead with it for the sake and the pleasure of Allah. Look, as a young man, you got many, many, long years ahead of you, inshallah. And you've got a long life ahead of you. And you have many ambitions and aspirations that you wish to accomplish and achieve in your life. Okay? You give that up for the sake of Allah. For this, not to impress anyone, not to earn acknowledgement, not to be, praised by any person, but for the pleasure of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ. Leave it for the sake of Allah. Allah will give you something better in exchange throughout your life. Every stage thereafter, you will experience good. Why? And say it to Allah. Oh Allah, you know what? I bought the ticket. I've got the ticket. Oh Allah, I've planned it. Oh Allah, I was really going to be there. Oh Allah, I was going to meet this person. Oh Allah, I'm leaving it and I'm abandoning it for your sake. For your wajh, for your pleasure. And Allah will give you so much good thereafter for the rest of your life. For that one decision that you make to earn the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The group of youngsters, after the king had found out that they had embraced this new religion, he gave them some respite of 3 days. He says, listen, yeah, I'm giving you 3 days to change your mind. You're a group of youngsters, I give you 3 days, you are mature enough, you belong to the elite class within our community. I'm not just going to go ahead and kill you, but I give you some time to think about it, you know, change your decision, come back to the faith of your forefathers and idol worship, and you know, I will not have you killed. They saw this as an opportunity to escape. They escaped from there, and that is when they made their way to the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to live or to sleep for a period of 300 years. Allah speaks of that. Allah says, إِذْ أَوَلْ فِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. You need to move away to your cave. Look for that cave of refuge. Right? Look for the cave of refuge. The cave of refuge in our day and era is the masjid. The masjid is your cave of refuge. Go into the masjid. That is your sanctuary. That is your fort. That will keep you protected, and it's going to energize you spiritually every time you come into the masjid. And when they made this decision to disassociate themselves from the community because of the temptations and they could not deal with the atmosphere and the environment, they made a dua, and this is very important. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you steadfast and to keep you protected. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. They said, oh Allah, bless us with mercy from your own side and provide us with guidance in our matters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.